Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham was of God. He heard God's call and obeyed. Even when laughing Isaac asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for sacrifice?" Even then Abraham obeyed. When it came time to build the altar and lay the wood upon it, Abraham obeyed. Even when he had to bind the only son from his wife Sarah and place him on top of the wood, Abraham obeyed. And when it was time to take the flint knife in his hand and raise it up, and the text records this just gruesome word, slaughter his son, Abraham obeyed. He was of God. But the Lord intervened. "Do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God. Instead of Isaac, Abraham would offer the sacrifice of the ram caught in the thicket." So he called the name of the mountain, "The Lord Provides." Abraham was of God, but those who claimed Abraham as their father, who depended on their lineage from Abraham himself, the Jews with whom Jesus is interacting in this chapter of John's account of the gospel, were not of God. It wasn't enough to have Abraham's blood in their veins, to do an ancestry.com check to find out whether they were legitimately descendants of Abraham. They needed Abraham's faith in their hearts. Of Abraham, Moses and St. Paul together declared, "He believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness." His faith was credited to him as righteousness. But the Jews, who had the gall to accuse Jesus of having a demon, do not share this faith with their forefather. And Jesus cuts straight to the point. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. You have not known the Father. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. There is no exhortation in any of that. Even in those extra verses, we backed up and gave ourselves a little running start before the gospel reading this morning. Not a single command. Jesus is simply descriptive. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. You would expect a command. Hear the word of God so that you may be of God. Instead, just descriptive. And then the line that causes grammar teachers to wince and theologians to prick their ears. Before Abraham was, I am. It's not a grammatical error. It's again, description. It's a statement of Jesus' unity with the Lord who from the beginning commanded Moses from the burning bush that his name was, I am who I am. The one who creates being and who causes being. I am. The Jews thought they had their religion in a nice, tidy package. But Jesus tore the package open. God took on human flesh in the person of Jesus and dwelled in the midst of his people. And then they accuse him of having a demon. You cannot know God the Father without knowing Jesus. You cannot be Abraham's descendant without sharing Abraham's faith. And you cannot be of God without hearing and keeping the word of God. So, what of you? Are you of God? Jesus draws this bright, clear division line. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Or do you suppose you can reach the Heavenly Father on your own without Jesus or apart from the means by which Jesus has promised to deliver his grace? Do you imagine that having parents who had faith or were faithful churchgoers earns you their eternal inheritance? Or vice versa? Do you hope that your faith will earn salvation for your children, your grandchildren, or even your parents? Do you elect only to be a hearer of the word when it's convenient or when all the other tasks on your to-do list are accomplished? If so, repent. Jesus gives no command at all in this morning's gospel reading, but there is, of course, looming in the background, the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And yet even in the meanings of the commandments, there is also a description. Those who fear and love God do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. But Jesus makes this connection between the third commandment and also the first. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Those who have right faith rightly receive the word of God. The wood was bound and placed on Isaac. He plodded up the path on the mountain to where the sacrifice would be offered. Isaac was bound to the wood. But this Isaac is the fulfillment of the first Isaac. The second Isaac is the son of God, not the son of Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. This Jesus Christ is the sacrifice to which all the other sacrifices pointed. But he is unlike any sacrifice before him. The ram had to be caught and held in the thicket by its horns. It was not a willing sacrifice. It had to go to the sacrifice quite against his will. All the lambs who shed their blood on the altar in the temple were sacrificed quite against their will. So would have been Isaac, and so was the ram caught in the thicket. But the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, did what no other sacrificial lamb could do. He went willingly. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. So the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ entered the most holy place once and for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. He is the ultimate, the final sacrifice. All the other sacrifices before him simply pointed forward to his sacrificial death on the cross in the place of sinners. All those lambs unwillingly brought to be sacrifices in the temple with their bleating and their bleeding were preaching a sermon that now in the sacrifice of Jesus is a language you can understand. You are not by nature of God. That's quite simply the description from Jesus. By nature, you don't receive the word. By nature, you are rebellious against God. But he who was in his very nature God took your place, stepped on the other side of the line, bore the demon of your own sinfulness. He took your place, took Abraham's place, took the place of the Jews who said that he was possessed by a demon, and he died. And so, for his sake, you are of God. That's his description of you. If the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the very blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's a description of baptism. There, the Spirit and the blood of Christ swirled together in the watery grave into which your sinful, not of God flesh was forever plunged, drowned, buried, discarded. God claimed you there by placing his triune name upon you, speaking the word of faith and forgiveness into your ear. Through the waters of holy baptism, as we've been contemplating in all of our midweeks in this Lenten tide, you became of God. That describes you. You heard the word of God. The word of God in human flesh kept that word perfectly in your place. So now you stand in his place. You and all who have received the Lord's gift of faith through the waters of holy baptism have become children of God. So now the Lord's call to be of God is simply a call to remain, to let his description describe you. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Remain a hearer of the word. Abraham believed God, not of his own, but because of the Lord's gift of faith. So you believe God by the same gift of faith, and that faith is credited to you also as righteousness, because the Lord has given to you that precious treasure of faith. Now you receive this promised eternal inheritance, forgiveness, and eternal life. Honest heirs of Abraham, possessing the same faith delivered to Abraham by the work of the Holy Spirit. If anyone keeps my word, Jesus promised, he will never see death. Again, just a description. So you do. You keep God's word because it has been given to you. You keep his word and you are kept by his word. The same means by which faith was delivered to you is the means by which faith is preserved in you. You keep his word because his word keeps you and holds you fast. His word continues to come to you to hold you in that relationship he has established with you, to speak you forgiven, to whisper faith into your ear. So by Jesus' promise, you will never see death. Even should someday death claim your body, even though you may taste death in the flesh, your eyes will never see it. You will pass from death into life as certainly as the Lord with whom you were joined in holy baptism defeated death, not for himself, but for you, passed triumphantly from death into life for you. And then Abraham called the name of the place where the Lord provided a sacrifice that set Isaac, his son, free. The Lord provides. At that altar, the Lord took away Isaac's condemnation, the death sentence delivered to him, and declared Abraham righteous. Now I know that you fear God. Again, just a description. So here at this altar, the Lord provides. He provides to you the body and blood of the very Lamb of God, which was slain for your sins and who yet lives. At this mountain, as at Calvary, the Lord provides. He takes away your sin. He bids you taste something far better than death. Here you taste life. Here, you who are of God by his gift of faith, by his Spirit's work in you to keep you steadfast in the faith he has given, you have this as a promise that you will not see death. You taste the very body and blood of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.